Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hey everybody, Joe Steinkamp from Serotalk back again for the third part of our convention coverage that came from the Blinded Veterans Association 2012 convention in Galveston. You know, Galveston's pretty neat. They have a pleasure pier where they have rides and Ferris wheels and a lot of great food. Moody Gardens, where they have a gigantic pyramid with butterflies and you can actually go feed penguins. There was a great big IMAX movie there. So if you ever get a chance and you're not really, you know, thinking about where to go as far as, you know, Texas, I mean, where would you go in Texas? Galveston ain't so bad. It's actually a lot of fun. And the weather was gorgeous. Oh, you wouldn't believe it. In fact, it was so gorgeous that I let Richard do most of these interviews. Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, he needed the practice and I needed to be able to go out into the... Anyway, you don't want to hear about that. You want to hear the convention audio. So let's jump right into it. Richard?
Hello, this is Richard Wells from the Serotalk Podcast here at the BVA convention here in Galveston, Texas. Today we are with Mike Goring at Guiding Eyes. Mike, who are you? What do you guys do? And how are you involved with Blind Vets?
I'm a field representative with Guiding Eyes for the Blind. Guiding Eyes is a full-service nonprofit guide dog school, 56 years old now, based in Yorktown Heights, New York. And Guiding Eyes has been placing dogs nationally since back in 1954. And we do service veterans as well. And actually, we prioritize veteran applications as they come in, particularly during times when we are at war. When we have actions going on. So that's our tie-in to the veterans and why we're here.
Okay, so tell me, what kind of, how do you consider yourself different from other schools? Why would I choose Guiding Eyes over, you know, some of the other ones? We won't mention any names, but, you know.
Right. No, the competition that exists among schools is very friendly, and there's a necessity. It's the beauty of this country. There's a necessity for difference, and all the schools do operate a little bit differently, and that's one of the things that's beautiful about being in the U.S. For veterans and civilians as well, is that we have a great deal of opportunity within guide dog. Most countries have one choice, and here we've got many, many choices. So what sets us apart is really our aftercare services. Our school considers itself to have a very family feel. We kind of crawl right up inside of people's lives, if you will.
And
some people find that it's not for them, and that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. When one of my jobs is to go out and conduct home interviews, and that's one of the things we talk about, is advocating that people apply to more than one school,
right.
Inquire into more than one school. It's like finding a college. It's like, you know, you need it to be a nice match. You're going to be involved with that school for the next 6, 8, or 10 years. You want to have a comfortable relationship with that school. So with us, when you contact us, we make a good school for people that are first-time guide dog handlers. We make a good school for people that feel that they're going to need support and want to know that there's a safety net there for them. So some of the schools, the school mission and the school attitude is really, they're going to place a dog with you, and then once they've placed that dog with you, their work is done. Their mindset is that they're providing independence and autonomy, and they do not want to create any sort of dependency on another agency.
Right.
And that's perfectly fine. And if that, you know, that fits people, that's great.
Yeah.
Our school
it is good to get a feel, because this has actually given me an understanding that I've never had before of how schools are different and how, you know, some people do need more of the, as you said, crawl up inside your
right.
life type, you know, touchy-feely type experience. I would be one of those. I'm one of those, you know, people who, you know, I'm always coming back with more questions and more, you know, issues and things like that.
Yeah, and that's the relation. Like with us, we have 8 field representatives scattered across the country, which
right.
is the highest. We have the highest ratio of field instructors to graduates out there. And we have every region covered, and our job as a field representative or field instructor is we're going to see every graduate minimally every 12 to 18 months. And it's not mandated aftercare, But we strongly encourage it. We want to see people. We want to see the dog.
See
we
want to
know how the team's doing. Yeah. So when people are in class, we really work very hard to build a rapport between the student and the school so that when people have any small issue comes up with the dog, that we can get out there, we can troubleshoot it right away before it turns into something that's impossible to fix.
Yep.
Usually the little problems are, the little fires are easy to put out. It's when things get really out of hand, then we look at radical solutions like having to replace a dog or those kinds of things. So
right.
If we can have that rapport with people where, okay, you know, the dog isn't reacting to this particular route well, or the dog isn't handling this or that well, that we get out there right away. And so as a field rep, I mean, I view it, they're my graduates. We use that terminology a lot of time. It's my grads, they're my people, they're out my, you know, they're my region, and those are my, you know, and I'm looking after them. And it's so, and it's, and I don't try to say that in a condescending way. It's just I want to know that they're getting the absolute most that they can out of this tool.
Well, now we've talked a lot about the people. Let's talk about the dogs for a moment.
Sure.
Different schools have different philosophies about which breeds are best. And I would kind of like to get your take on that. You know, what breeds do you guys use and why?
We're predominantly using Labradors right now. We're probably 95% Labradors. In the past, Guiding Eyes, in its history, used Boxers and Shepherds going way back to those late 50s and early 60s years. Through the years, the Labrador has just proven to be very well accepted by the general public. That's a huge factor in this. As far as public access, when you come walking in the restaurant door with a Labrador, the first, you know, the hostess says, "Oh, you know, my Uncle Bob's got a lab just like that, da 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 da."
Yeah.
Different welcoming committee when you come in with a Doberman or a Shepherd,
yeah,
or the Boxers, or, I mean, it's just a little bit different. So that plays a part in it. Trainability. Today, the training methods that we're using in you know, post 2000 and 2012. It's positive reinforcement, which the labs respond very well to. It's there's food and treats involved. With you can sign every lab up for that, and so they work really well for that. The general public is also likes that training method. They have, you know, we have a much more savvy general public than we used to have years ago, back in the 50s and 60s. If you said sit to your dog and your dog sat, nobody really cared how you got it to sit. People were just generally impressed.
Right.
Today, the general public's watching Discovery Channel, they're watching Animal Planet, they've watched The Dog Whisperer, they're savvy about training, and they want to know humane training methods are being used. So they're much more critical, and we see this as instructors out on the street all the time, the public watching how that dog's being treated.
Right.
If a command is given, are they following it up with praise and reward? Very, very critical of things. So having dogs that respond to that method of training is important as well, and the labs fill the bill there. We have used some Goldens in the past. They've really, Guiding Eyes has gone away from the Golden as a guide dog. My own background, I did service dog work for 18 years. They work great as service dogs. Really don't have the resilience to hold up as guides for the most part. There's a few of them out there really good. As a mix, Golden Lab mixes make very nice guides, but the straight Goldens, they tend to be a little aloof. They tend to have a tough time holding task and so on. So with our school, labs are getting the call. We do have a few Shepherds in our program just for the old school,
right,
handlers that have had Shepherds and refuse to work with anything but a Shepherd. They're a tough breed.
Yeah.
Not the dogs. The people.
Back to people again.
Yeah, when they want a Shepherd, they want a Shepherd. You're not talking them into anything else. So yeah, we're using primarily labs. We do have some Shepherds. Now, you do have some schools out there that use exclusively Shepherds. You have some that are using a blend. There's some Dobes working out there.
Mm-hmm.
You do see a few Boxers anymore. With the non-allergetic breeds, the Poodles and the Labradoodles are making an appearance in small numbers.
That Labradoodle, but, now that,
yep,
one.
they're out there just because of the request for the non-allergetic dog.
Yeah.
They have made an appearance within our field as well. So you can see a little bit of everything, but predominantly in the service dog world, in the guide dog world, labs.
Okay, Mike, also, what is the contact information for Guiding Eyes?
You can best way to reach us is on our user-friendly website, guidingeyes.org, www.guidingeyes.org, you can call in toll-free. That's 800-942-0149.
For the Saratalk podcast, this is Richard Wells reporting from BVA in Galveston, Texas. Hello, this is Richard Wells for the Saratalk podcast here at the BVA convention in Galveston, Texas. We are talking with Brad Buecke today here at Logic Mark. What in the world is Logic Mark, and what are you guys doing with blind vets?
Okay, well, what we offer is the Freedom Alert and Guardian Alert, and what that is the world's first programmable two-way voice emergency communicator pendant. And what this allows a veteran or anybody else is that if there's an emergency, say they fall down, you've heard of some of the products and seen some of the products that are, if you fall, can't get up exactly right. And we provide pendants that you can wear around your neck, or you can, we have a belt clip, or we also have a wrist support that can be used on a on a wheelchair.
Right.
And what we offer to the veterans here is that we have a contract, and we provide these personal emergency two-way communicator pendants to the VA hospitals. They purchase them, and then they provide them at no cost to the veterans. So this provides them the security 24 hours of, in case they would fall, and God forbid that they would have a heart attack or stroke, that they would get immediate help. With these pendants, we have one model that is called our Guardian Alert, and it would call, you push the button and it pulls, it calls 911 directly. And then we also have our Freedom Alert unit that is a little different, that you can program it to actually call anybody, any phone number.
That you said.
It would be, you could call a relative, friend, neighbor, son,
like
a daughter.
Case of emergency on your cell phone, like you set your contact numbers there. Okay.
Now, what's different too on our unit than some others in the marketplace is that there are no monthly fees, no contracts for the veterans to have to pay. This is totally
free
for most, in most cases.
So it's subsidized by the DAV or whatever.
Yeah, we have a contract with the VA, and so all the veterans hospitals. This can be used in all 50 states in the United States. So the pendant is battery operated. Mm-hmm. It uses rechargeable batteries.
Okay.
And it will give you several hours of, talking time.
Sure.
Again, you can actually speak through this pendant. Mm-hmm. You can also, 911 can communicate with you or a friend or neighbor. So, again, it's the only two-way emergency communication pendant in the marketplace. Again, it's battery operated. It has a range of like 600 feet, which would be about a football size. So as long as you're within that distance, you push the button, they can either 911 or family relative will be able to speak to you. So you could be in the front yard, the backyard, the side of the yard, and get help immediately. So.
Okay, so but you do have to be within proximity.
Yes, and also something very important with this is obviously you would have to have a phone jack. This is, everybody would need to have a landline to use. And of course the advantages in this also would be that it works, it would always have your caller ID. So if in fact you would fall in your house or your front yard, when you call 911, even if you couldn't speak through the pendant, they can actually, they know where you are, so an ambulance can come come out and help the person. Also, with this two-way communication, it's a lot better than having to call a call center like some of the other units on the market. Mm-hmm. This one, you can actually call 911. And as we all know, when somebody has a heart attack or a stroke or something, the faster you can get to, time is everything. Yep. So with this, you can speak directly to 911 and get attention immediately. And also, they can communicate to 911 and say, this is what I'm having. Heart attack, stroke, or I've just broken something, and they can communicate and make sure that an ambulance comes opposed to maybe a policeman when somebody right. needs immediate help. And sometimes with communicating through a call center, their communications are not always real clear, and a person may have a policeman come out when really they need an emergency. So that's a real, again, I can't emphasize enough, the advantage in this system would yeah. be that it does have the two-way emergency communication pendant.
Now, when you talk about two-way, you're referring also to, once you push the button, it's almost like a speakerphone, basically. They wouldn't have to worry about pushing the button to say anything else?
Yeah, it is a speakerphone, yes, okay. exactly, and it's all built into the pendant. You right. don't, other units, you need to be close to their base station, mm-hmm. and sometimes when you're too far from that base station, yeah. you can't hear clearly.
Exactly. Now, if I could go ahead and get your contact information so that okay. People can get in touch with you.
Yeah, you can go to our website. The website is www.logicmark.com. And our phone number would be area code 703-934-7934. Our toll-free number is 800-519-2419.
Brad, we appreciate your time today. This is Richard Wells reporting to you from the BVA Convention in Galveston, Texas for the Saratalk Podcast Network.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Richard Wells reporting from the BVA in Galveston, Texas. We are recording for the Saratalk Podcast Network. And today we're speaking with Guide Dogs for the Blind and with Ariel Gilbert. This one's kind of familiar to me because my brother has actually been to your school, or the one in San Rafael anyway. So talk to us, Ariel, and tell us what's cool about Guide Dogs for the Blind and how what are you doing for blind vets these days?
Well, we have a lot of nice things that have been happening in the last few years at Guide Dogs. Mm-hmm. One of them is we're in the process right now of putting in a new student residence on the San Rafael campus, which should be done in May of 2013. And we're continuing to run classes while we're doing the construction at a local hotel, and everything's going really well with that. We're moving to all two-week classes for first time for retrained students. And we've been able to do that by changing our student-to-instructor ratio, which is now two students for one instructor, and really customizing the training and not a bunch of time sitting around waiting your turn to go out and do a route, and providing all the student lectures ahead of time to the students before they even come to class on CD, and then they get a Victor Reader Stream while they're in class to review those lectures and be able to ask questions of their instructors before they go out and do routes. And so with vets in particular, of course, you know, being at the BVA conference and being able to assist vets with what services are available to them as veterans when they come to class and get a guide dog, especially first-time veterans coming to get a guide dog, you know, understanding the services that are available to them through the government. And Jim, is there any other things that I've missed about what's new at Guide Dogs?
No, I think you've done a nice job of identifying all the new programs that we have. And
of course, we have the stability of all of our 70 years of being tried and true to our graduates and students. And we have Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, and Lab Golden Crosses. And we're just here and stable and moving into the future.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I was going to ask you about your breeds. Why do you use those particular breeds? What's the philosophy behind that? And how do you choose the right breed for the right, for the right size person, you know, there's big people, little people, in between people.
Well, internationally, the Labrador Retriever is the most commonly used dog as a guide dog. And that's because they are a very solid, stable dog, and that they're, for all the different heights and personalities and working situations all over the US and Canada and actually internationally, the Labradors, you can find Labradors that fit with everybody's personality, gaits, different special needs. The Labrador seems to fit the best. Of course, you know, there are people who like particular breeds like the Golden Retriever, and we also have the Labrador Retriever Golden Retriever cross, which is also internationally a really good successful breed.
Right.
And all of those breeds have a double coat, which makes them comfortable in all sorts of weather conditions. Mm-hmm. They come in a variety of sizes, you know, from as short as 19 inches at the shoulder to up to 27 inches at the shoulder. And with our harness, we've got a variety of different harness handle styles and lengths so that we can fit every person with every dog.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me this, and this is, you know, I know there's a lot of different places that people can go to get dogs, and I know most of the schools encourage people to apply different places. I'm a newly blinded vet. What makes me want to come to guide dogs over some of the other schools? What would you say would be the reason that I would want to come there?
That's a really good question, and I think that what you need to look at when you're looking at different guide dog schools is what services they provide. And we're really proud of the fact that we have the most extensive follow-up program in the world. So that means when you graduate, it's not just goodbye, see you later.
See ya.
we have field managers all over the United States that support graduates in different zones and regions around the U.S. And we have telephonic support for emergent situations, and we'll actually go out and help someone in person if we aren't able to solve a problem over the phone. And the other thing that's very unique about our school is that we have a veterinary assistance program, which means that it's similar to like a healthcare program where if somebody needs financial support in order to provide healthcare to their dogs, we will, you know, you get it approved ahead of time, we will either pay part or all of the veterinary costs if,
wow,
if,
I've
if
never heard of
somebody
that before. That's,
needs
that's
that
something
kind
good.
Of support. And we automatically will reimburse up to $300 every year for an annual physical and to cover the flea control and heart guard medication for your dog.
That is excellent, because, you know, I mean, maintenance, I mean, we have a Chihuahua, and, you know, that's a lot of upkeep. You know, I can imagine what it would be, a Labrador or a Golden or something like that, where you have just all kinds of upkeep on the dog. So this is great information. What we'd like to get now from you is your contact information. How can people contact you and apply for your school?
We have a wonderful, easy 800 number, 1-800-295-4050, and our website is www.guidedogs.com. And the application is easy to fill out, a very simple form that's screen reader friendly on our website, or you can call our 800 number and actually fill out the application over the phone.
Thank you very much, Ariel, and also Jim. Appreciate both of you talking with us today. This is Richard Wells reporting for the Cerro Talk podcast here at the BBA convention in Galveston, Texas.
Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing.
The Cerro Talk Podcast Network is proudly bringing you interviews from the Blinded Veterans Association's National Convention. To hear similar content, go to cerrotalk.com or take a spin around iBlink Radio.
Hello, this is Richard Wells from the BVA in Galveston, Texas, for the Cerro Talk Podcast. Today we're talking with Rebecca Cook, or Becky Cook as she prefers. Becky, talk to us about Fidelco. What is it? What are you doing for blind vets today?
Well, we're here today telling about our program. We breed, raise, and train German Shepherds for any blind person, not just veterans. Mm-hmm. We are trying to help out the veterans. We have German Shepherd guide dogs. Our school is located in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the thing that makes us different is, A, we exclusively use German Shepherds, mm-hmm. and B, we will come to your home and train you in home as opposed to going away to school.
Do I have to live in Connecticut for you to do that?
You do not. You can live anywhere except the state of California right now.
Ah, okay. Okay, so Texas would be safe then.
Texas is safe.
Well, talk to us about the advantages of that. You know, what is it about you that would make people want to choose you over a different school?
Well, I mean, obviously everybody has a choice what they like to do. A lot of people, if they, you know, say have a job, family, whatnot, that they really don't want to go away to school. A lot of the schools today, you know, and don't quote me, but I believe require you to come to their facility for about 28 days.
Yep.
You know, our program will allow you to stay in your home with your family, still go to work. I mean, you have to take a few days off to get acquainted with the dog, but, you know, we train you in your own familiar home environment. So instead of learning at a school and then going home and having to apply it by yourself there without any assistance, you know, we'll help you get through your daily things. You know, where's your grocery store, your friend's house, the post office, routes in your own home that you just want to get a little bit better at with the use of a guide dog. And also our program, if you've never had a guide dog before, we come out for 15 days and work with you one-on-one. So instead of being in a classroom and, you know, with a bunch of other people sitting around waiting your turn, we'll come right to you, work with you every day, you know, anywhere between 4 to 8 hours a day. And, you know, like I said, it's a 15-day program as opposed to a 28, so it's much quicker.
It does sound like there would be a lot of advantages to that. For instance, you know, you mentioned, you know, saying where your friend's house is, where your grocery stores are.
Right.
You're learning your own routes while you're learning to use the dog.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, you obviously should know your own routes, but now we're just kind of plugging in the dog. But, you know, I've been around a lot of states, and there's some things I see, and I wonder, gee, how would a person coming back from another school figure this out? So it, to me, it just makes a lot more sense. But, of course, everything's a personal choice. So, you know, again, our two big points are the in-home training and, you know, you need to want a German Shepherd because that's all we have.
Yeah, because that's all you do. Now,
that's right.
So is that an issue for smaller people? Because German Shepherds can...
It's not for smaller people. Our dogs tend to be a little bit more active, so usually we require that you have, you know, at least two routes from your home that are between a half hour, 45 minutes. You know, our dogs are not really couch potatoes. They want to get out, work. You know, so I'm not sure what the other schools require as far as activity level, but, you know, we do want to see people getting out there using the dogs. Otherwise, a shepherd can get a little restless. They really need to get out and work.
Right, right. So, but it's not an issue of the size of the person.
No, not per se. I mean, you have to physically be able to handle, you know, just as you would any dog. A shepherd can be a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would have to come out to your house, interview you, test you on a lot of different things, your strength included.
Right, right. Just, you know, just to make sure that the dog wouldn't be just dragging you around the
neighborhood. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Give us some contact information. If I want to apply, you know, if some person wants to apply to your school,
okay,
how does that happen?
Okay, well, there's two ways. You can go to our website, which is www.fidelco.org, and that's Fidelco is F-I-D-E-L-C-O, or you can call Tara Wilson, who is our admissions manager, directly at area code 860-243-4044. And those would be the two probably best ways. And Tara would do kind of a pre-interview with you to see if you're qualified. Then we would send out a instructor or a trainer to do an in-home interview in your own area.
One question that just occurred to me.
Sure.
What is it, since you're working on these people one-on-one, how many people do you have to do that? So, you know, I mean, realistically,
yeah, good
how
question.
Many people can you do a year?
Right now, we are placing about 50 dogs a year. Mm-hmm. We do tend to take care of our successor placements, which are people who are on their second, third, fourth dog, etc. But you know, what it really depends on and comes down to is, you know, what the needs of the person are compared to what the needs of the dogs we have. So just say, Richard, if you're ready for a dog and, you know, we have a dog here, Kevin's ready, it doesn't mean you're automatically next in line. We really take a lot of care placing the right dog with the right person. So, you know, it could take 6 months to a year. It could take 2 months, really, depending on what you need compared to what we have available in the kennel at that time.
Right. So you can't really give it an average wait time.
They do say it could be 6 months to a year. So I guess that's what I'll go with, although it can be quicker than that.
Yeah. Well, this is great. You guys have a really unique concept, and especially, you know, in coming to the to the home, and I assume that what is it, the trainer just you put him in an extra room, or do you?
Yeah, we stay right at your house. No, we don't do that, Richard. No, we'll stay in a hotel nearby and come see every morning and work with you on whatever things you need to learn, wherever routes you need with the dog and obedience, grooming.
Well, I live way out in the sticks, and there's no hotels out there, so you might have to stay with me.
Well, we've done it before, but we'll find somewhere.
Becky, this has been fun, and we enjoyed it. I know there are some people who are going to be excited about talking to you and getting started with you. This is Richard Wells reporting to you from the BVA in Galveston, Texas, for the Serotalk Podcast Network. This is Richard Wells from the BVA convention here in Galveston, Texas, reporting for the Serotalk Podcast Network. Today we're with ABIC, and your name is?
My name is Ilana Waldman. I'm responsible for quality assurance for our company, which is located in Massachusetts. And we are making electronic reading devices for the blind and low vision people. And we are excited to make them. And we are trying very hard to make them as wonderful and useful for our users, because they deserve it, really.
Absolutely. So talk about what are the implications for blind veterans? You know, a lot of guys coming back from the different places where there's military action going on, and they've lost their vision. They're still just trying to get used to it. What products can you offer to help them adjust?
Now, we have actually two major lines of products. Computer-connected devices and standalone devices. So for the younger folks who just probably lost their vision during the recent war actions, so we offer the computer-connected devices like ZoomTwix, iPal, ZoomX. These devices are very simple and easy to use. And
what do they do? Give us a quick overview of what they do.
They are actually a scanner, reader, and magnifier. Ooh. So they are camera-based solutions that take a picture, converts image to text and text to speech. They speak out loud, all of them.
Right.
So they also have a magnification mode.
Right.
So can be zoomed in, zoomed out, and ability to save on the computer multiple images and books under the one name, like a book mode. So we have also standalone devices for the older people.
Mm-hmm.
iPal Solo, very known device for the veterans.
Right.
And now the newer one, which is iPal Reader and iPal Vision. So these are reading devices. iPal Reader is a reading device. iPal Vision is a device for low vision with a magnification ability.
Now, the standalone devices, do they tend to have bigger buttons and stuff for people still getting used to using their hands? You know?
Absolutely. They have just 5 buttons to operate. Mm-hmm. They are very easy to find on this device, and they are big buttons, so it's easy to operate. This is just a power button and volume button and stop resume button, so very easy to operate. You just throw a piece of text, any document or your mail or a book on the surface, it starts reading in about 3-5 seconds.
Wow.
And which is very interesting about these two new devices, that they can read fine print, very small print, starting with the font 4, which is really unusual and very unique this time on assistive technology.
Now, I'm sure with the computer devices, you can save your documents or whatever that you know, like if say you scanned a little booklet or something, you want to keep it and read it again.
Absolutely.
Does the handheld devices allow you to do that too?
As I know, they don't have this ability. Handheld devices
won't
have this ability.
Yeah, they're more for just reading something and throwing it away, and reading something else and throwing it away, whatever.
Absolutely. Gotcha. Absolutely.
Yeah, but if a person wanted to get more into saving documents, then they would get one of your devices to hook to a computer.
Right. And these, our new devices like iPal Reader, they have the ability to read, as I said, small print, and This is a pill bottle, which has really small, nobody can read it without this device or without a huge magnification. So it's
so you can even read a prescription, or you know,
absolutely.
The
They read the prescription, and they very well read the pill bottles, which are curved, which are round. So here's the example of it.
Wow. So that, yeah, now that is just a, that, I mean, I can just see all kind of utilitarian uses for this, not just for reading your mail, but, you know, you get a new prescription or whatever, you need to know what it says, yep. There's nobody there to read it to you.
I think it's very helpful, yes. It'll be very helpful.
Absolutely. Ilana, tell us how to get a hold of ABIC.
Our phone number is 978-635-0202. And again, we are located in Massachusetts, and our website is www.abisee.com.
Okay, so it's A-B-I-S-E-E.
That's correct.
Okay, all right. Yeah, so I was probably getting that wrong then. Okay, well, Ilana, listen, we appreciate you talking to us today. This is Richard Wells reporting to you from BVA Convention here at Galveston, Texas, for the SeroTalk Podcast Network. Hello, this is Richard Wells reporting from the BVA Convention in Galveston, Texas, for the SeroTalk Podcast Network. Today we're at the Department of Veterans Affairs talking with Jennifer. Jennifer, talk to us a little bit about what you're doing here today for blinded vets.
Yes, we are letting the veterans know about their home loan benefits. As a veteran, they are entitled to the GI loan, and VA guarantees 25% of home loans given to veterans based on their service in the military. And we talked about the benefits of having a VA guaranteed home loan, such as there's no down payment requirement, and if they're receiving service-connected disability compensation from VA, then they're exempt from paying the funding fee. VA really looks out for our veterans in that we monitor the fees that the lenders pay.
Right.
I mean, that the lenders charge the veteran.
Right, like at closing and those kinds of things.
Those closing fees, right. And we make sure that the veterans are not being overcharged for those fees in reference to closing their home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about like PMI? Do they have to do mortgage insurance and all that kind of stuff, or is that?
There is no PMI. That's
wonderful.
One of the benefits.
Because that lowers the payment quite a bit.
Right, so you'll only be paying your principal and interest and escrow if your lender so choose to escrow. That is not a requirement of VA, but some lenders want to escrow because they are responsible to make sure that the insurance and that the property taxes are paid timely.
Right. Now, also, you said that based on service, is there qualification? You know, like for people who serve longer, is it different, or is it all veterans get the same benefits regardless of length of service?
All of the veterans get the same benefits, whether you've served 2 years or 20 years. Actually, you don't even have to serve that long. If you were 90 days during peace, 180 days continuous active duty with a honorable discharge, or 90 days active duty with an honorable discharge. But the only difference is with reservists. With reservists, you have to have served for 6 years.
Okay, because reserves are basically serving one weekend a month and two weeks during the year.
It's like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But if they are reserve and was called to active duty for at least 90 days, then we'll take the active duty time as opposed to their reservist time. Right.
Wow. Well, great. So how do people get started? Is there a website or a phone number people can call? Website they can get on or a phone number?
Actually, all they need to do is contact a realtor or a real estate professional in reference to finding a home, and then contact the lender, because VA doesn't actually loan the money,
right.
So they'll still have to go through a lender.
Right.
What the lender wants to know is if they're eligible, if they've served their time, and so they will need a certificate of eligibility. Now, the certificate of eligibility can either apply by filling out VA Form 26-1880 and submitting it to our Eligibility Center in Atlanta, Georgia, or they can go to our VA website and they can apply online, or they can enroll in e-benefits and they can obtain a certificate of eligibility through eBenefits. However, our approved lenders, the lenders that participate in our home loan guarantee program, they also have the ability to pull the veteran's certificate of eligibility in their office as well.
Well, is there an advantage to getting on the VA website, maybe in pre-qualifying, you know, so you can just say, here, I've got the certificate in my hand, you know, I'm good to go?
The certificate of eligibility does not qualify you for the loan. It just makes you eligible for a GI or VA guaranteed home loan.
Right.
The lender still has to qualify you. The veteran will still make an application with the lender, and the lender will review their credit and collect their financial information and say whether or not the loan is approved or not. VA just guarantee 25% of the loan that the lender gives to the veteran.
Exactly. So, okay, now, do you want to give the VA website just in case somebody does want to apply online?
Okay. It is VA, it's www.va.gov. Or they can go to www.ebenefits.va.gov. There's also another one, which is www.benefits.va.homeloans.gov.
Okay, so they can go out there, and if nothing else, even if they're not applying, they can find out, you know, what their eligibility is, and, you know, if they're even eligible for the program and the different things like that.
Yes.
All right. Jennifer, thank you very much. And this is Richard Wells reporting for the Serotalk podcast from the BVA convention here in Galveston, Texas. Hello, this is Richard Wells from the BVA convention in Galveston, Texas for the Serotalk podcast network. Today we're talking to Arthur Valdez at the Veterans Affairs Department here. And Arthur, tell us about what your particular bailiwick is. What area do you serve blinded vets?
Sure. My title is Special Adapted Housing Agent. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is we assist veterans that apply for two grants. We have two grants that we work with. One is called SHA, Specialty Housing Adaptation Grant. This is for our service-connected veterans that are blind, or in other words, loss of use of sight, loss of use of their hands, or a combination of both. If they are eligible, they can apply for a grant called SHA, Specialty Housing Adaptation. Currently, the maximum grant funds are $12,756. This money is made available for them to adapt a home to make it easier to get around, to improve the quality of their life. And of course, it's a grant, so you never have to pay it back. Now, also, the other grant program is called SAH, Specialty Adaptation Housing. This is for veterans that are using a wheelchair or are severely burned. And again, this is based on their service-connected disability. That grant is $63,780. Both of these grants, again, are made eligible for the service-connected veterans to help improve their home, do some adaptation work, again, to improve the quality of life. Now, when I go meet with these veterans and talk to them about these grants, we also inform them that through the hospital, through the VA hospital, there's a department called PNSA. It stands for Prosthetics and Sensory Aids Division. And again, they're located in the VA hospitals. They offer another grant, which is a separate grant, called the HISA, H-I-S-A. HISA stands for Home Improvement and Structural Alteration. This is a grant of up to $6,800. And that, again, they have limited things you can do with that funds, but it could help improve your bathroom, add railing, lighting, winding doorways. Again, they have a guideline of specific things that they allow them to pay for with these funds. So some of the veterans that are eligible for the SHA, the $12,000 grant, can also be eligible for the $6,800 grant. So they can, at the same time, use both grants to have plenty of work done to their home.
This it sounds like very useful information to a lot of our folks. How would you get started? How do you apply for this and where?
All the information and application forms are on our website under va.gov, va.gov. They can go on there and search SAH or SHA grants, and they'll have the pop-ups with information. The first step in applying is fill out a form called a 264555. That is the application for the Adapted Housing Grant. And or online, they have an option to actually fill it in and submit it online. Okay, but you can have veterans that are eligible, and the rating decision on the report, it'll say entitled to SAH grant. But unless you fill out the application and ask to use the funds, then nobody will really contact you. You have to actually apply, even though you're already eligible, and then an agent will contact you and actually come to your home and do an interview and discuss with you how the funds can be used. At the same time, they'll do a feasibility study, which means they'll measure your home and then give you some ideas on how to improve your home to make it more accessible.
Exactly. So once you come to a home, you might find out that the person actually needs more than what they're even asking for.
Exactly. Yeah, give them some better ideas and things on how to improve their home.
Exactly. Arthur Valdez, thank you very much for talking to us today. I'm Richard Wells with the Cerro Talk Podcast Network, reporting from the BVA convention here in Galveston, Texas. Thank you, Arthur.
Well, thank you for your service.
This is Richard Wells from the BVA convention here in Galveston, Texas, reporting from the Cerro Talk Podcast Network. Today, we are talking to the Daylight Company. Give us your name and tell us about the natural lighting and stuff that you, with magnification, stuff that you're doing for low vision.
Sure, Richard. Steve Pomeroy, Vice President of Sales with Daylight. And Daylight is a company that specializes in natural lighting and magnification. We've been working within the low vision industry for about 20 years, headquartered in London, and do a lot of work with the Royal National Institute for the Blind out of London that we work with they give us suggestions and ideas as far as the design of lighting and lamps to assist with low vision individuals and folks who are visually handicapped. And we've been doing that. We've been selling now within the United States for about 6 years, and we're very happy to be at this show.
Well, that's great. Now, so what you're doing is that you're working to affect the lighting in the person's environment so that there's more of a contrast where they can see more
exactly, clearly
or whatever?
Exactly, right. A standard light bulb, an incandescent, doesn't quite have the qualities that some low vision patients actually need. It's not a clear, natural light. It can get quite hot. An incandescent can get quite hot. And with our lighting, it stays cool. You can have it on for 8-10 hours a day. It stays nice and cool. It provides a clear white contrast to items. You mentioned contrast to items that you might use underneath the light. And we combine that with magnification where necessary. We spend time working ergonomically on whether it's a table or a floor lamp, on things that can best assist the individual.
How hard are they to replace? Like somebody, when you when you think of a light bulb, you think of, a couple, 3 years, one day you turn it on, pop,
right.
Is it that kind of thing?
Or right.
Do you guys, take care of the maintenance of that as well?
Oh, yeah. The other thing that's nice about Daylight is in this world of energy efficiency, and that we're shifting both within all of the work that the government is doing and how everyone is working to be energy efficient. Our lighting, this actual Daylight technology, produces a bulb that the life of the bulb is 10,000 hours. That's on average. Whereas what we have here in a regular incandescent from one of the large manufacturers, that life is about 1,000, maybe 1,500 hours. So a Daylight life expectancy, if you will, is 7 to 8 times longer than a regular bulb. You could use a Daylight bulb every day for about 3 to 4 years before you'd actually need another type of, or before you need to replace it.
And basically we just call you guys when it needs to be replaced once it's installed, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. We sell through all of the main distributors within the low vision industry. And
So I couldn't go to a Walmart and buy a light bulb for one of your systems.
They do sell that type of lighting, but it's not quite the same, and it may not fit specifically. But on our website, we sell bulbs We do sell on our website as well as selling through all of the main distributors that the VA works with.
Speaking of your website, what is it, and is there any special qualification that a person needs to, you know, an application or whatever to get you guys involved? But go ahead and give us your website
sure.
and contact information.
Sure, it's Daylight Company, www.daylightcompany, all spelled out, company.com. And we'll even let you on the website, Richard. Yeah. You know, special pass, nothing.
No special pass.
We're even going to let you on anytime you like, 24/7.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always thought that as a totally blind person, I've always thought light was overrated, but that's just me. You know,
Touché.
Steve, listen, we appreciate your time today. Thank you. This is Richard Wells reporting for the Serotalk podcast from the BVA convention here in Galveston, Texas.
Oh, phone number. You can also
phone
reach
number.
Us too.
Yes.
Very simple. 1-866-DAYLIGHT. Toll free. 1-866-DAYLIGHT.
All right. And
thanks,
if you have
Richard.
Trouble with spelling the word daylight, then you can get a speaking spell. And
there you go.
There you go.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Richard, for that report and for all the great reports in these three specials. Remember, if you've heard these out of order, there are parts 1 and 2 available at www.serotalk.com or through iBlink Radio. We also want to thank the Blinded Veterans Association for giving us the invitation to come down and provide you coverage from this event. Galveston was gorgeous and we really appreciate it, and we think we've learned a lot about what services are available. Remember, if you have someone that you know who is a veteran and who could benefit from these services, head on over to www.bva.org to learn more about the Blinded Veterans Association. That's www.bva.org. We thank them for the invitation, and we also thank you for listening to Serotalk.